Father, we are grateful for this opportunity you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the call of God is a very, very serious thing that we need to take very seriously. Amen. Amen. And when God calls you, you must know that it's a very serious thing. Now, if you are in this church, you are likely to be called by God to serve Him. Why do I say that? Because churches are different. You see, God in His wisdom has made so many different types of pastors and uses so many different kinds of people. So every church has its emphasis. Every church has what it needs, what it wants, and what the Holy Spirit is able to lead the leader to do. Because, you know, we are all influenced by the Spirit and by many other things as well. So, in this church, we are greatly influenced by the Holy Spirit to go into the world and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So if you are here, you are likely to be called. You see, because there are many, many other opportunities and options that you could have had. But somehow, you found yourself here. So don't take anything for granted. Because many, many are called. So I believe, as I'm looking at you, that many of you are called by God. Many. Yes. God has called you. And when I say that, I don't mean it lightly. I don't mean that, oh, you know, many are interested, or many are happy, or many are at the camp. No, I mean many are called. Called by God. Because the Bible says so. The Bible is evidence for me. Evidence enough. Matthew chapter 22, please. Verse 14. Many are called. Amen. Amen. Many are what?
Called.
But few are chosen. So, I believe that many of us are called by God. Amen.
Amen.
To be pastors, to be evangelists, to be teachers, to be apostles, and especially young people are called by God.
Amen.
Amen. Today I am in the First Love Church. 99% of all my church members are either teenagers or in their 20s. And maybe about 20 people are higher than that. Out of about 6,000 people who are there on Sunday morning. So, I have come to see, actually, when it comes to young people, I keep on just watching them to see what they are going to do next. You see, when I went there at first, that's where I learned about dancing stars. I never heard even such music before. Even though I was a Christian, it was Christian music. But I don't listen to such music. So when they started playing it and dancing, I said, wow, that's not bad. Then I started to watch them dancing. And many things they were doing, I just watched them. Because a young person is supposed to come up with something improved from what their parents are doing. You get it? But a young person is an improved person. So some of you, you will see even your parents couldn't speak English like the way you even speak. And you too, your children will speak better than you. And you will sound like sometimes an illiterate next to them. True or not true?
True.
Yes. Because your children are supposed to be like just something better than you. All right? God uses young people, and God calls many of us when we are fresh and young. Amen.
Amen.
And the call is to many. Many. Yeah. If you think you are not called, I will tell you that you are more likely to be called than not called. Because many is means the majority. It means the masses. It means the large group. It means a lot of people. It's just that people don't take it seriously. Yes. You know, one day I met someone who said he has seen Jesus before. So I said, wow, I've been hearing this, you've seen Jesus. So I said, now explain exactly what it was that you saw when you said you saw Jesus. So he started to explain. After he was explaining, I said, ah, then I've also seen Jesus. Because if this is what you mean by you've seen Jesus, then I've also seen Jesus. And I realized the difference between me and this person was that he takes things seriously. He was taking his experiences seriously. Yeah. You see, when you take things seriously, you will see that God is calling you, God has called you, and that you really do have a mission. But it's only that people don't take things seriously.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you must decide to take this message and this word in the Bible, many are called, seriously. We are called to fill every single island.
Amen.
You know, I would not like to come to a camp here where we haven't filled every single island. I would like to come to a camp where each one of the 23 islands that were mentioned, we have a mission in each one of the islands. Can I have an amen from somebody? To the ends of the world. It's our responsibility. It's all about whether you take things seriously or not.
That's right.
Yes. So I have learned, and I learned that day, that a prophet is someone, and a serious Christian is someone who takes things seriously. Now, when you are young, it's like when you wake up in the morning. I'll say it again. When you are young, it's just like when you wake up early in the morning. How many have woken up early in the morning and you had a dream? Then a few minutes after you woke up, you can't really remember the dream. That's what I mean. Because as soon as the day goes by, just a little, everything real and everything super spiritual, you get it? Everything real and everything super spiritual becomes unreal. When you are young, everything about you, all right, is spiritual. But as you grow older, the wonderful spiritual experience that you are having begins to look unreal as you face the realities of life. When you begin to have hormones roaming all around, you start to notice boys and notice girls, fall in love, and develop attitudes and so on. And then the call of God, which was in a pure state, gets contaminated and muffled until it's no more there. But most pastors' children, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. True or not true? Then when they grow up, I don't want to be a pastor. Or I want to be a pastor in something. And then after some time, maybe that pastor thing goes. I want to be a missionary. Now, I thank God when I meet missionaries' children who tell me, I want to be a missionary. I've seen pastors' children who've grown up and said, I want to be just to do what my father did. I want to be a missionary. I remember I met Bishop Obi's daughter. She told me, Bishop Obi, stand up. She told me she wants to be a missionary just like her father, who was a missionary to Kenya. She told me that she sees the effect of being a missionary. And she doesn't even want to marry anybody who will not be a missionary. Like how he has been a missionary. That's what she told me personally. Yeah. She's seen the effect of what it's like when somebody obeys the call of God and goes on the mission field. And now she grew up on the mission field and she thanks God and she wants to be a missionary too. And she doesn't want to meet anybody who doesn't want to be a missionary. If there's anybody who doesn't want to be a missionary, she doesn't want that person at all in her life. Yeah. You see, many are called. And after some time, people pretend as if they are not called. But many are called. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Are you still around? Yeah. So it's like having a dream early in the morning. Then as the day progresses, you can't even remember. That's why we write dreams down. Because after some time, it's like, wow, is it true? So many here, God has put a hook. When I say call, I see something like a big hook, hooking your heart with a rope. And God is pulling you and saying, you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. And I'm hooking you and I'm pulling you. And I'll never let you go because you are mine. And as long as you flow, your heart will not be hurt. But if you don't flow, the hook will pull your ribs. And the hook will pull your rib and you'll be going this way whilst you are in the law court trying to be a lawyer. The hook will be pulling your ribs off. So you'll be noticing a lot of pain in your life. It's because the call is pulling you here. You are also going this way. When a huge metal hook has hooked your ribs from the center and is pulling you to the will of God. Many have been arrested and hooked by Jesus for the work of God. And you must humble yourself and say yes to the call of God. You must say yes. You must say yes, I will do the will of God. Yes, Lord. There's only one response to the call of God and it's yes. There is no maybe, there is no later, there is no next time. There is one answer and it's yes. And when you are a young person, you must honor your parents and your fathers. But you must not, honoring does not mean make the same mistakes they made. Honoring your father does not mean to make the same mistakes he made. So young people in the church, there are older pastors, older lay pastors, honoring them because without them you may not even be a Christian. You go to hell flat, straight, and no bend, no curve. You're going there. But honoring your father does not mean go and make the same mistakes he made. Yes. And many lay pastors made the mistake of not going all out to missions, not becoming full-time pastors, was a great mistake that many of my lay pastors made. I am 100% sure of it. And I just have a few more years for it to be proved. 100%. Those few years will be death. Death will prove it all. Heaven, when we stand before the judgment seat, that's when you see whether who made the right decision or not. It's just a few more years. Yes. Everybody will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Over here, we can say whatever we want to say. Never believe. You, every parent is a human being. That's why God says honor your father and your mother. Because it's easy to dishonor them because they are human beings and they are making mistakes. So you are supposed to honor them. But as you honor them, it does not mean make the same mistakes they made. If anything, you learn from the mistakes they made. Yes. And go further than they did. I am following somebody like Hagin. Kenneth Hagin. Papa Hagin. One day I asked the Lord to show me the mistakes that, because he was telling me this message, don't make the mistakes that the people in front of you made. I said, hey. I said, I don't see any mistakes. So he said, learn these mistakes. Then he started to show me. Then I began to see, you see, as I went around Africa, I understood a little more. I realized that even as Kenneth Hagin was known, he was not known in many languages. If you go to many parts of Africa, they don't speak English. They read other languages. They read other languages. Yes. They do what? Read. They read other languages. In Burundi, they read Kirundi. They read Kirundi. They don't read English, French. You hear French, but it's not French. So the Lord showed me. He said, look, put your book into that language. When you get a WhatsApp on your phone in Burundi for credit, it's in Kirundi. It's not in French. I went to Rwanda. They don't speak French there. And they don't speak English. They speak Kenya, Rwanda. And so the Lord told me, make your book in Kenya, Rwanda. That's why we pulled out of Rwanda. To translate all the books into that language. We go to Tanzania. They don't speak English there. They speak only Swahili. There's nothing English there. They call English speaking. It's not English. Malawi, they don't speak English there. They call it English speaking. There's no English in there. They speak Chichewa. They write in Chichewa. They go to school in Chichewa. They go up to university in Chichewa. Yeah. And so on and so forth. We went to Madagascar. They don't speak French there. They speak Malagasy. I went to Ethiopia. They don't speak any language. It's Amharic. So I have to translate. You see, which Hagin's papa, my father's books are not in all these languages. So you may be honoring your father, but God will also show you some things better or higher, or maybe what he didn't do, you can do, or you may do. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And on, I sat down with the Lord for a list. And he showed me all the fathers that I follow. This one didn't do this. You can do this. This one didn't do this. You can do this. This one didn't do this. You can do this. So if you are even following someone, thank God for our wonderful lay pastors that have built UD all over the world. But there are many things they fell short of. And you must go further. Many of them should have been. And they will tell you in their secret moments, we made a mistake. One lay pastor called me, said, he told me, please take my son. I don't want my son to make the same mistake I made. I should have been in full-time ministry. I want to tell you personally, all these years, please take my son. Let him serve the Lord. I don't want him to make the mistake I made. So in as much as you are honoring, do not make the same mistake. Many are called. Many are called even to prosper in a certain way. And you will prosper in a certain way when you follow God and you obey his calling. God did not call you to reduce you. God did not call you to destroy you. God did not call you to finish you off. God did not call you to reduce you and demote you and diminish you. God called you. It's a blessing when God calls you and God uses you. So many are called. Many have a call of God. And you can never escape the call of God. It's like air that you breathe. It's always with you. You can't get away from it. You know there is something that you have to do. It's always there. So do not make the mistake our fathers in the UD made. There are many lay pastors. I tell you, heaven will not be a pleasant experience. You can write it somewhere and see. Heaven will be a big shock and a big blow with a great regret. It's called gnashing of teeth. Number two, many are called. Number two, many are called to fruitfulness. So number one is many are called. Now many are called to fruitfulness. John 15 verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Or he may give it to you, as the Bible says. So, number one, many are called. Many are called. Many are called. And number two, many are called to fruitfulness. Now look at this verse. Everybody look at the verse. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Huh? So God has called you and ordained you. God chose you. You know, this is what I believe. You know, when you are a man, you have to appoint pastors. You have to ordain pastors. You know what I have learned? I've learned that some of the pastors we appoint, we are happy. And some we appoint, we are disappointed. And some we don't appoint, we wish we had appointed. Do you know why? Because real appointment and real ordination is from God. God is the ordainer and the appointer. Look at it. You don't choose me. I chose you. I ordained you. So as you are here, what I am doing is confirming the appointment. And sometimes it's not easy to appoint because we look at so many human things. When you look at the human thing, you say, oh, this one he cannot, this one he will not. But sometimes it's the one you don't expect. He is the one. He is the one. The one you don't expect, she is the one. He is the one. You think it's not going to amount to anything. He becomes the important one. Yeah. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. The stone which they said, this is not a good stone, throw it away. Later they had to call for that stone, put it here in the middle. This is the main stone. So I cannot tell by looking at you which of you is going to be the real man of God. A woman of God here. I have no way. So I preach generally and I preach to all. And I tell you that when God calls you, God has called you. Yes. There is a call by God. God ordains, God chooses. You can't do anything about it. And if God has called you, oh, you better listen to him. And you know there is a call to be fruitful, to bear fruit. We cannot afford 1 year of fruitlessness. It really angers God. You should have put my one talent in the bank. At least I'd have had a little increase. How many here want God to curse you? Do you remember when Jesus came to the fig tree and there was no fruit? He came and said, "Oh, John, Frida, I want some fruit from you, some souls, from all the great investment I have made in you." Ha! And then there was no fruit on the fig tree. He just turned around and cursed the tree, looked at the tree, said, "You are cursed. You, no one will ever benefit from you again. You are finished." The next day they came by, the tree was brown. It was one of the great miracles of Jesus. Cursing fruitless trees. Cursing fruitless trees. Curse fruitless trees. Cursing fruitless trees. Cursing fruitless trees. You should be afraid to be fruitless. You don't win no souls. You don't get involved in Swollen Sunday. We have something we call Swollen Sunday. You don't get involved in Anakazo. You don't get involved in all the things we are doing. There is a curse for fruitless trees. There is a curse for fruitless trees. Jesus cursed the tree. Why? Because the tree was insulting him. No, because the tree was fruitless and he wanted fruit. Go and read your Bible. Or am I reading from a different Bible? Yes. So there is a call to fruitfulness. Something must come out of you. Where were you before Jesus saved you? What were you doing?
Daddy, I was working in the nightclub.
You were working in a nightclub. What nonsense is this? You were working in a nightclub. And what else?
Daddy, I was working in a nightclub. I was just out there fornicating, smoking, drinking. I brought my mother with me. My mother's also there with me. She can testify how we used to make her cry. She sometimes says that, "Look, I wish I would strangle you to death when I was giving birth to you." The amount of time.
Your mother said she wishes she has strangled you to death when she was giving birth to you because of the trouble that you were causing your mother. Why would your mother want to strangle you?
Daddy, we used to make her cry every day.
Every day?
Every day. Police would come to our house every day.
Police? Where is mommy? Where is she?
She's there.
Mommy, stand up. This is a real mother. He's talking about a real person. Police to the house every day. And you were living in America, isn't it? You were in America.
I was in Fiji.
You were Fiji. Is Fiji an island or is it in America?
It's an island.
An island. You see, this is an island. And there are human beings on the islands with souls on the islands with normal mothers, normal children. Police coming. Every day is a crisis. Every day is a problem. Do you think God will not expect something from this person? Do you think one day Jesus will not wake up and say, "I'm going to look for this one Jeff fig tree and come walking to see his fig tree and see whether there's fruit coming out of the salvation and the mercy that God showed you"? Can you imagine a child who is being born and your mother says, "I wish I had strangled you like when you came out. I should have been wise and just tied your neck because of the troubles you are bringing to this world"? Has your mother ever told you that? And now you want to sit there doing nothing and just say, "Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I don't know what's going to happen to those islands. They can go to hell. But I'm okay now. I'm thank God I'm saved." No. He saved you. He saved me. What about others? What about others? And what else were you doing there?
These are the things I've been doing. I remember my lady pastor and Reverend. Reverend got really fed up of me. He said that, "Hey, this guy, I give up. He's for the devil."
Your pastor. pastor even gave you up to the devil. Hey! Who is this pastor? Are you the one? Stand up. I mean, what type of person is this that causes his mother such problems and his pastor has even donated him to the devil? Hey! This is serious. The mother and your pastor don't want you to be existing. But thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his kindness. Hallelujah. Can we say we will leave even one island? I just want to ask you, can we say we leave even one island? If we had stayed in Australia, just Australia, so we are in Australia, there is more money in Australia, let's stay in Australia, as the lay pastors want us to do. As the disobedient ones want us to do. Never go, never yield, never agree, never say yes. Always have a decision and an oblique line of thinking. For me, I want to obey my Jesus. When I'm not here, you can do whatever you want. But whilst I am around, I'll be sending people to islands and I'll be trying to get people to be saved and I'll be pushing people to go all out. Yeah. Thank you. Number three, some people are called in a spectacular way. I'm preaching from my book, Many Are Called, chapter 2, I think. Some people are called in a spectacular way. And number four, some people are called in an ordinary way. Amen. Now, there are spectacular and dramatic calls, like Paul, unusual. But what is that to you? What is that to you? If your mother didn't want to strangulate you, it doesn't mean you are not called. So if my mother strangulates me, then I'll know that I'm called. You are a fool with a big head. You cannot decide to obey God only when there is something dramatic happening in your life. If you want to wait for something dramatic, I don't want to tell you what's going to happen. You may not want what that dramatic thing is to happen. Yes. Maria Woodworth Etta, 6 children died before she said yes to God. Yes. 6 children died before she said yes to God. You may not want that dramatic call or that turnaround. Yes? You say, no, I want the ordinary call, please. I just want the ordinary call. I like to go by the ordinary calling. No, nothing special. Apostle Paul was struck blind before he saw that he was called. But Peter, James, John, Andrew, all of them, their normal lives, they were just chatting with Jesus on the seashore. And they said, oh yeah, why not? Let's follow. Oh yeah, I can hear. I hear the message. I don't see why not. And they were saved the dramatics of falling down from a horse, which is an accident. That fall down from the horse was a car accident. Paul was saved in a car accident. He was struck blind. He was on admission in the hospital. He was in intensive care when he heard the call of God. Did you hear what I said? There were no cars. This is what they used. He fell down. Somebody said he must have hit his head on the floor. Head injury, isn't it? Doctor, what head injury would give you that? Blindness. Pardon?
Bleeding into the occipital lobe.
The back. Gone. Blind. Everyone said, Paul fell down from his horse. He was riding, please, they rushed him to the hospital. He was riding on the horse in the convoy, and we don't know, his horse started jumping, then he fell down, and then now he can't see, and he's not talking, so we've brought him for admission. This is what you want, eh? Ask your neighbor, you want to be Paul? You want to be Paul? You want to be Apostle Paul before you know that you are called? Or you want to be Peter, James, and John? You are fishing, and Jesus says, "Can I use your boat? Can I do something with you?" And you say, yes, you can do something with me. How do you want God to call you? Dramatics or simple, easygoing calling? Say, hey, you know. You like, let's go. We got something to do, okay? Something to do for Jesus. There's always more that God wants from you. There's always something higher that God wants from you. There's always something better that God wants from you. There is a call to fruitfulness. There is an ordinary call. And most of the disciples, they were just chatting. How did I get called? Ordinary. The next number five is God calls people by their desires. I just have a desire to serve the Lord. I don't know how the desire built up in me, but there was no day I can say that, oh, God called me on this day. No, never. I can't point to a day and say, on the 28th of February, God called me. Or on the 32nd of June, God called me. Just as I kept walking with the Lord, I find my interest growing. I want to serve the Lord. I want to follow Him. I want to do His will more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Hallelujah! Yes. And the desire. Paul said to Timothy, if anyone desires the office of a bishop, that's a great thing that he's desiring. So you must decide that as the desire is building up in you, you will not ignore it. Amen. Do not ignore it. Amen. Do not ignore it. Or you want them to carry on a stretcher like Paul. This is a man. He was on his way to Damascus. They put him on admission. Take him to the head injuries section. Take him to the blind department. He's blind, we don't know why. From head injuries. Take him to the trauma accident center. It was in the accident center when he said yes. Are you there?
Yes.
How different people were called. Number one, quiet convictions. Necessity. Paul also had quiet convictions. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Number one, I've moved on. I'm in chapter 3. How different people experience the call. You dare not say no.
You know,
One night I was listening to Derek Prince. He said he used to be a soldier in the British Army in India. And one day the viceroy, who was like the governor of India, called for an officer to come and see him. Invited an officer to come for dinner. And Derek Prince said the man didn't go. The man sent a message that, oh, he can't come. He said the trouble that came for that guy for refusing the dinner. He said, you don't refuse dinner when the governor invites you for dinner. You don't say no. He said the message that he was busy and he had some things to do, so he couldn't come for the dinner. He had a big problem. You never say no to God when he calls you. When a high person invites you for dinner or even puts food in front of you, you start eating. You don't say, oh, I don't eat pork. I don't eat this. You eat it today because you are in an important place. Stupid. You just start eating. Don't say, well, I don't eat this. I don't eat salad. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. After you go and vomit it, but now you eat it. You say you don't eat salad. When Yong Yicho invited me for a dinner, they put all sorts of things, and I had been told that Koreans eat snakes, and I was watching the food. Everything was little curly things, plenty. When they put it, I started, in Jesus' name, Father. Because I've received a call of honor, I must flow. I can't say, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. And I'm the number one person who says, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. But that day, I was eating. My wife was by me. Yong Yicho was on this side. And my wife was this side. I was just doing. Sometimes, as if the food is going up and down. But I was tricking and just moving. But the food was still on the plate as I was eating. You cannot say no when an important person is calling you and giving you an honor. You cannot say no. You cannot bluff. Are going to get into serious trouble. When God has called you to an island and is expecting you on an island, you cannot say no. The call of God through a dream. When Joseph had a dream, as a child, he took it seriously. Bible says, and behold, he dreamed a dream. Hallelujah. Amen. The call of God through your childhood dreams. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him all the more. What dream have you had? Huh? Have you had any dream where you felt God was calling you in your dream? Raise your hand if you've had a dream where you felt God was calling you. Raise your hand, let me see. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Can I see your hand? You've had a dream, you feel God was calling you. Stand up if you had a dream like that. Stand up if you had a dream, you felt God was calling you. You had a dream, you felt God was calling you. Stand up. Stand up if you had a dream. You felt God was calling you. You had a dream. God bless you. God bless you. You see, the difference is those who take the dream seriously. It's not about having a dream or not having a dream. It's if you believe it, you take it seriously. Yeah. That's how come I'm here. That's how come I wrote a book. Because God spoke to me, write a book. I said, me, a book? How? I'm from Ghana. No one will read my book. Huh? Yes. You have a dream. God gave you a dream. Take it seriously. If God calls you, take it seriously. The difference is those who really believe in these dreams. Sit down. How about convictions? Like something you believe. A conviction is something you believe. How many feel you've had a conviction before? You really felt it in your heart. Stand up if you had convictions. Quiet convictions in your heart. Yes. You see, there's more people with convictions. You see, more people with one talent. We who have convictions, we are the one talent farm boys. I didn't come to ministry with a dream. I came with a conviction. I don't know if Bishop Saki had a dream or a conviction. No dream. One talent. That's it. Just a conviction. You just like a priest. Bishop Saki just liked the priest dressing. When a priest dressed, he likes. He was attracted to it. He wanted to be like a priest. Yes. Bishop Obi, you had what?
A conviction that I must serve God.
When did you have this conviction?
I think I had this conviction when I joined the church and I started coming for the camps. But I think the camp that made the biggest difference was probably Pastors of Thousands. That I was now sure that this is what I wanted to do.
Pastors of Thousands.
I had the conviction became very strong that I must not do anything else, but I must just serve God I must do only God's work. And that's probably at the peak of also my business. So it was a very strong...
Your business was working?
Yes, that was the time that the business was working best. That was the peak of the money coming in. So that is when I started to struggle on whether to follow the conviction or how to let the business go.
Oblique.
Oblique. Yeah. But I think that finally God, when I went with you to Malaysia, and you said that I must, to follow that conviction, I must lose something. Then something entered into my heart that this business, it must go. If I really want to follow this conviction, then it must go. So when I came back, it was much easier to follow this conviction.
Yes. Convictions. Dreams. Childhood dreams. Kenneth Hagin said when he was a child, he used to say, I preacher. That means I will be a preacher. When he was a little child, he used to say, I preacher. Which meant, I will be a preacher. And he knew it when he was small. I'll be a preacher. By 18, he was a preacher. I preacher. When you are a child, you know things, because your spirit is not contaminated by sin and cut off from God. So your spirit knows things. That's why you should watch your childhood dreams and your childhood convictions. Yes? Kenneth Hagin told the story. He said, look, a man went, he was talking about how children know things. He said that he had this pastor friend, and the pastor friend was going for a funeral of another pastor. So he had to fly early in the morning to the funeral. So the mother and the father took the two children, put them in the car, and went to the airport. When they were at the airport, the children were sleeping at the back because it was early, very early in the morning. I think at dawn. So the husband said bye-bye to his wife and went to the plane. When they had not taken off, then the child sat up at the back of the car and said, why is daddy going on the plane? Does he not know that the plane is going to crash? Yes. Why is daddy going on? Does he not know that the plane is going to crash? At the back. The child was at the back of the car. Then the plane started to take off. Just took off and crashed right before them. And he was explaining that children, because they are connected to the spirit, they are not cut off by their sin. They know a lot of things. And they know truth. Sometimes even children at home, they see through their parents. And they can see that, daddy is a beast or mommy is a beast. Yes, they can see through it. They can see. It takes something, but the innocent eyes... But also by the spirit, they can see through the camouflage and all the acting and all the whatever. They look through and they say, It's a sweet mama, but a poor lover. That is why your childhood dreams are very important. Yes. And that's why your early morning dreams are very important. You have to watch all those ones before the whole day. When you read Rick Joyner's book, The Torch and the Sword, when he was talking to Jesus, he asked the Lord, so when I go back to earth, would I remember? And the Lord said to him, as soon as you go back, all this thing will look like a vague dream. It will look very vague and it will disappear. I was surprised. When you read the book, very clear, he met the Lord. He spoke to the Lord. He spoke. He had visions of different people. And the Lord said, when you come back to earth, it will look like a vague dream and it will, like, it's vanishing. Just as a final quest, touching the sword. All these things become vague, as if it's not real, as if you didn't see it. But you saw it. As if you were not called, but you are called. As if God didn't send you, but he did send you. As if he didn't mention the island today, but he did. As if he didn't tell you, you need only one talent. But he did. He did. Thank you. Sit down. Number five. The divine call of God, of Aaron, through Moses. You can experience the call of God through somebody. Yes, sir. It says in Exodus 4 verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and teach thee what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Thou shalt be to him instead of God. Instead of God. Instead of God. Instead of God. He shall be to you instead of God. Instead of seeing God, you see him. Instead of hearing God's voice, you hear him. God told Aaron, you hear him. He will be instead of God. You have him. For many years, all I had was Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. Instead of God, it was Hagin. Yes, for many years of my life. If I wanted to get close to God, I put on a Hagin tape. I get closer to God. Instead of God, I had Kenneth Hagin. And I don't believe. Stay in your darkness, please. Don't. I can't discuss anything with you, please. When I put on the tape, I become closer to God. That's what I did when I went to Suhum in the medical school, 1988. I wanted to get closer to God. All I had was Hagin tapes, audio tapes. I put it on and I start to hear his voice as he's rambling, talking, telling stories, talking about God, talking about the ministry, talking about his visions. Instead of God, I had him. Instead of God, he said, he shall be to instead of God. You shall be to him instead of a mouth. You be the mouth. He'll be the mouth. Learn when God is calling you through somebody. And what you have is what the person is saying. And how it pumps up the anointing in you. And pumps up the convictions in you. And pumps up the anointing in you. And pumps up the power of God in you. That's all I had. Hagin. When I went to talk, they were ushering me upstairs. I said, you don't know what you are doing. I'm not going upstairs. I'm staying downstairs. I want to see this person closer. Yeah. I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma just to sit there. Yes. Recently, I went there. He died. I went after he died. It was like a hollow shell. There was nothing for me. It's just a shell. The person who was instead of God to me was not there. Yes. It's not the buildings. It's not the facilities. It's the person. When God chooses somebody and uses the person in a certain way in your life, you must respect it. You see, it is people take things seriously to greater or lesser lengths. You must take it seriously. Take things seriously. Take things seriously. Take spiritual things seriously. Don't take spiritual things seriously when you know you are going to die. Take it when you are alive, when you are healthy, when you are well, when there's nothing wrong, when there's no bad news. When nothing terrible has happened, take God seriously. Take great decisions for your life when there's nothing bad. Instead of God. I remember that night in that room, you know, it's like a farm. Outside was a lot of grass and other little houses around. But we had just two rooms. One room you come out and there's a bathroom there, and the other room you come out. So a house with two rooms. And I was in one room, little small room like this. And I was there, my bed. And here was my little red tape recorder. And I put in Kenneth Hagin and I pressed play. I play this way and that way, so it plays both ways. It never went off. In those days, we didn't have all that you have now, internet. And the tape was playing throughout the night. That was the atmosphere of God. It was like God was in that environment for me. Yeah. I could always feel the presence of God and God speaking. And even though the topic was, he was talking about demons and some pastor and some issue, and he was talking and whatever, it's like there's always a feeling for me. It's what God gave to me. I'm sorry if he didn't give it to you. It's what God gave. Sometimes I would give the tapes to other people. We don't understand the message. We don't get what he, we don't understand anything. But you see, he said, I will be instead of God. This man will be. Yeah. So I pray to you that you listen to this call. Yes. And you say yes to God. And you decide to take it seriously. Hallelujah. The divine call of God when Joshua was sent by Moses. And Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go and fight with Amalek tomorrow. Amen. Now God can call you by being sent. When you go, you start to see signs of who you are. So long before, in Exodus 17, long before, you know, Joshua's ministry started in Deuteronomy and in the book of Joshua. But he started to see the signs when he was given a mission. And that is why you must take up the missions. And the mission starts to show you the sign of what you are called to be. Can I have an amen? Number 8, the call of Samuel by staying in the church and being trained to recognize God's voice, which sounds like a man's voice. Amen. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see the call of Samuel, which came to him when he stayed in the church. Amen. And recognize God's voice, which sounded just like a man's voice. And the Lord called to Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he thought it was a man calling him. Amen. Now, heavenly things have a way of being like earthly things.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So sometimes when God is calling you, think a man is calling you. Here am I, for thou callest me. He said, no, I did not call you. So when God has called you, sometimes it looks like a man called you. When God gives you advice, it seems like a man is advising you. Look at what he said. And the Lord called Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli. He said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Go and lie down. Go and sleep. You are imagining. Is that not amazing?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Go lie down. Go lie down. Go lie down. Verse 7. Read on. Read on. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So there's a time when you don't really know God. So God's voice sounds like a man's voice. And that is the point at which God is calling you. And he's saying, my son, I'm sending you. Stand to everybody. Is it beautiful? Lift your hands and ask God to lead you into all of his will. God is going to use you to do all of his will. He's going to use you to do all of his will. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Kayandala Mashadola Mankabarana Liba Halabada Kabaranda Labradale Labradele 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 Mandola Makabarandale Mamandele Mene Mene Mene. Oh yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Burning. in shining light, turning many souls to God, working in the fields, reaping the harvest. So fulfill your ministry, the time will soon be done. Make full proof of your calling. So fulfill your ministry, the time will soon be gone. Make full proof of your calling. I'll send my missionaries to the fields. I will bless and anoint them. They will be hard soldiers. They will work in the fields of harvest, working night and day. There'll be no turning back. They will not be destroyed by their marriages or filled with excuses. Whoa. But they will bear much fruit. Whoa. They will fulfill their ministry. Before the time is done, they'll make full proof of their calling. Oh, they will fulfill their ministry. Before the time is gone, they'll make full proof of their calling. Missionaries shall endure what others could not endure. My grace is upon them. Receive the grace of God. Walk on, my child. I have called you to be strong. Signs and wonders, many deeds, great accomplishments, oh, shall be your testimony. So fulfill your ministry before the time is done. Make full proof of your calling. So fulfill your ministry. The time will soon be gone. Make full proof of your calling. Oh, 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 oh. So fulfill your ministry. The time will soon be gone. Make full proof of your calling. Whoa. Fulfill your ministry. The time will soon be gone. Make full proof of your calling. Missionaries must enter with all their hearts into the spirit of their mission. leave all the comforts of life behind. Oh, encounter the hardships of the mission. An uncomfortable manner of living. And every other inconvenience. A bit of clothing, a few essentials. Ready to work as a farmer or a fisherman. This is how to be a missionary. Oh, this is how to serve the Lord. Do you want to be a missionary? Oh, why are you not a missionary? You too can be a missionary. Oh, what a great opportunity to be a missionary. Why are you not a missionary? A missionary's first business must be to learn the language of the natives. Endeavor to cultivate a friendship with them. As soon as possible. Let them know the errand for which you came. Convince them that it was for their good alone. That you forsook your home and your native land. And your native country. Yeah. This is how to be a missionary. This is how to serve the Lord. Do you want to be a missionary? Why are you not a missionary? You too can be a missionary. What a great opportunity. To be a missionary. Why are you not a missionary? Don't think highly of yourselves. Don't despise the natives. Go where God pleases. Bid farewell to all your friends. Bid farewell to all you know. Bid farewell to relatives. Stand in all readiness. Missionary, do you want to serve the Lord? Oh, you want to be a missionary? Yeah. Why are you not a missionary? You too can be a missionary. What a great, opportunity to be a missionary. Why are you not a missionary? How to be a missionary. This is how to serve the Lord. Do you want missionary. Oh, oh, why are you not a missionary? Because you too can be a missionary. Oh, 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 what a great opportunity. Do you want to be a missionary? Oh, why are you not a missionary? This is how to be a missionary. This is how to serve the Lord.
He saved you. He saved me. He saved us for all time. What about others? Oh, yeah. He saved you. He saved me. What are we doing for others? Do you believe in dreams, the Holy Spirit's dreams? Thousands of men running down the street. They didn't know that the road was leading to a steep and deadly cliff and down into the fire. Oh, 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 he saved you, he saved me. He saved us for all time. What about others? Oh, yeah. He saved you, he saved me. But what are we doing? Oh, for others. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes are waiting in the valley of decision. Oh yeah, they're waiting, they're hoping to hear the gospel. They don't know Jesus Christ, they are lost and dying souls. Saved you, he saved me. He saved us for all time. What about others? Oh, yeah. He saved you and he saved me. But what are we doing for others? Why do we sit and wait while millions go to hell? Their blood is on our hands. It is time to preach the word. Oh, the gospel of Jesus in its pure and simple form is what is missing now in the church. What are we preaching? He saved you, he saved me. Oh yes, he saved us for all time. What about others? What about others? He saved you and he saved me. Oh, but what are we doing for others? We are the salt of the world, the light of the world. Are we really shining, shining like we should? We are the salt of the world and the light of the world.
Are we really shining as the light of the world? He saved you and it saved me. Oh yes, he saved us for all time. But what about others? What about others? Oh, he saved you and he saved me. But what are we doing for others? Tell me, what are we doing for the others? I want to stay around you, serving in your house, Lord, doing your will. I don't want to be one of those who leave you, those who pretend around you, those who forsake you. Oh, those who forget. I bless the day I found you, oh Jesus. I want to stay around you, serving in your house, Lord. Oh, doing your will. Each time I pray, Lord, each time I meditate upon your kindness in calling me, I bless the day I found you. I want to do your will and I want to love you forevermore. Oh. The day you called me, I bless the day you chose me, the day you anointed me to preach your word. So teach me the art of hearing, teach me the art of following, that I may hear you, oh, and follow you. Oh, 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 each time I pray, Lord, each time I meditate upon your kindness in calling me, Jesus, I want to do your will and I want to love you forevermore. I bless the day I found you. Oh, I want to do your will, and I want to love you forevermore. Someone to send, go anywhere, do anything, whatever the cost may be, I'll be there. If you need someone to feed the sheep, if you need someone to care for them, someone to show them love, I'll be there. Oh yeah, yeah. I'll be there when you call for me. There will be no delays, there will be no excuses. You will hear me say to you, here I am, send me. Oh, send me, Lord. Oh, if you need someone to talk to them, if you need someone to counsel them, someone to show them love, I'll be there. If you need someone to pray all night, if you need someone to fast for, Lord, someone to stand in the gap, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there when you call for me. There will be no delays, there will be no excuses. You will hear me say to you, here I am, send me, Lord. Oh, send me. If you need someone to go witnessing, oh yeah. If you need someone to win the soul, someone to reach out to them, I'll be there. Lift your hand and say, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. Oh, yes. Just call my name, I'll be there. Will you be there? Will you be there? Lift your hand and say, I'll be there. Oh yeah, I'll be there. Oh yeah, whenever you need me, I'll be there. Oh, oh, oh. You can count on me, Lord, I'll be there. Call my name, and I'll be there. Oh Lord, choose me and use me. Just like you chose the Virgin Mary, I want to be blessed among the women, blessed among the men too. Oh God, choose me and use me. I want angels to visit me. Please use me for your glory. Whoa, 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 God, choose me and use me. Whoa, whoa. To the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, blessed art thou amongst women, and the Lord is with thee. Thou art highly favored. Oh, oh, God, choose me and use me. Just like you chose the Virgin Mary, I want to be blessed among the women, blessed among the men too. Oh God, choose me and use me. I want angels to visit me. Please use me for your glory. Whoa, whoa. Oh God, choose me and use me. Whoa, whoa. Oh God, choose me. Now when Mary saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, What manner of salutation this should be? The angel said, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son, call his name Jesus. Whoa! Oh God, choose me and use me. Just like you chose the Virgin Mary, I want to be blessed among the women, blessed among the men too. Oh God, choose me and use me. I want angels to visit me. Please use me for your glory. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh God, choose me. Great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh God, choose me and use me. Just like you chose the Virgin Mary, I want to be blessed among the women, blessed among the men too. Oh God, choose me and use me. I want angels to visit me. Please use me for your glory. Whoa, oh God, choose me. Mary said, How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? The angel of the Lord answered her and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That holy thing which you shall conceive will be called the Son of the Highest. Oh God, choose me and use me. Just like you chose the Virgin Mary, I want to be blessed among the women, blessed among the men too. Oh God, choose me and use me. I want angels to visit me. Please use me for your glory. Oh, 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 oh God, choose me, use me, choose me, use me. Oh, 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 oh God, choose me, use me. Use me, whoa, whoa, oh, oh, God, choose me, use me, choose me, use me, choose me, use me, choose me, use me, choose me.